This is Member Care Media, a media ministry of TWR. Up next, a conversation we believe will be helpful to you. This is a copyright production of Member Care Media and may not be reproduced without prior written consent.
I'm Scott Hollinger, and I'm glad you've made room for us in your busy schedule. Today, we'll begin an 11-part series titled Choose Life. Our guide for this series is Pastor Bob Perdue. I think you will find as we go through this series that Bob is extremely qualified to speak on the subject of Choose Life. Bob, first of all, I would like to welcome you. Earlier during our time together, before we came on the air, you mentioned that we would be looking at 10 life choices. Perhaps you could introduce us to the concept of the life choices and how you arrived at these particular 10.
Certainly, Scott. The first thing is that I think that in ministry particularly, and I've been in ministry for 30 years, we get so busy and our lives get into a routine that it's easy for us to just kind of go through the motions and really miss the point. I read a book recently called Adventures in Missing the Point, and I feel like a lot of us are there. We're doing the right things, we're saying the right words, but we're not really sure what the point is. And so as I pondered that a while back, the answer that I came to was that life is the point, that this is what God created us for. He put Adam in that garden, he formed him out of the dust of the ground, and then he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. And then he gave him the opportunity to choose life every day by putting those two trees in the garden.
Right.
And that life choice, I think, was the driving factor in Adam's life from the beginning. Of course, Adam didn't choose life every day. He eventually, with Eve, chose death. But Christ came to give life. That was his whole purpose. John 10:10, I am come that you might have life and have it to the full. So I believe that life is the point, and that's kind of where these 10 life choices started. Of course, when we think about life, we have to define what that is, because when you talk about life, people think of different things. I think in the context of Scripture, life is our connection with the Father.
Mm.
Adam came alive when God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and we come alive as believers when the Spirit of God enters us in the regeneration experience of salvation. So there's a connection that happens between us and God. And when that connection happens, we are alive. And it's that life, that connection to the Father, that really is the point. That's our message, and that should be our passion. And I think in a lot of ways in our lives as Christians, that's missing. I talk to a lot of Christians who say there has to be more to life than this, or my life feels empty sometimes, or I really need to get my life together, which are just indications that they're not experiencing the life that God created them to experience.
Well, let me ask this question then right now, Bob. Why are they missing it? As Christians, we ought to be there. You know, we have that option.
Well, we definitely ought to be there. And I think, you know, if you think of it in terms of Adam and Eve, they should have been there too.
Mm.
They were enjoying life in the garden. They were choosing life every day. So what in the world possessed them to choose the other path? And it basically was that they thought there was more life somewhere else. That's the way that Satan tempted them, and that's certainly the way that he leads us. When we think there's more to life than what we're experiencing, we move in a wrong direction instead of deeper into God.
Yeah.
And it's our desire to be independent, to find life on our own, and to make our lives work ourselves that really lead us away from life in the end, which is exactly what happened to Adam and Eve.
So continue on and share with us a bit more about this then.
Basically, in our desire to find life and to make our lives work, we take detours from life and we end up just like Adam and Eve in sin. Not only sin, but also in being wounded, because the sins of others end up wounding us. And these sin and wounds don't move us toward life. They move us away from life. They block us from the Father. So there's a disconnect that happens. And since life is the connection with the Father, whenever there's a disconnect because of sin and wounds, then we feel the result of not having or experiencing that life that God gave us to celebrate and to live. So now, instead of the Father's voice being the most powerful voice in our life, speaking truth into us, speaking life into us, now we hear the powerful voice of our sin and wounds, which speak lies to us. They label us in ways that we're weak, or we're inadequate, or we're a failure, or we're perverted, or there's something wrong with us. And that gets reinforced, of course, by the enemy, because he's the father of lies. Mm. So the message from our sin and wounds, reinforced by Satan, builds up a stronghold in us. We no longer hear really loudly the voice of the Father saying we're beloved children and we're connected to him. We hear the voice of our own sin and our own wounds and Satan himself telling us we're not good, we're tainted. And so we develop this huge sense of shame. There's something wrong with us, which, of course, Adam and Eve immediately felt as soon as they sinned. And shame is a huge feeling inside of us that we have to do something with. The right. whole point of it is to drive us back to God in repentance so that we can be reconnected to him. But that doesn't happen very often. Instead, it becomes contempt, a huge ball of angst inside of us that's either directed at others because we blame them for our predicament, or directed at ourselves because we believe everything that's happened to us is our own fault. So either in self-contempt or in others' contempt, we try to make our lives work with coping mechanisms. And we end up having to kind of create a new self because we're so ashamed of who we think we really are. We decide to put on a mask to create a false self and to live not out of our hearts and not out of our relationship with the Father, but out of this mask, this public persona that we've kind of developed on our own. And I find that most people have this mask, this public persona, that they found a way that they can make their own life work. They're either the funny guy, or they're the technical guy, or they're creative, or they're athletic, or they're the hard worker, or they're shy, or something that they can hide behind that kind of becomes who they are because they're so ashamed of who they think they really are. And in some ways, the mask works for us, because we usually pick something that we can at least handle and maintain. The problem is that we're not living freely out of our hearts. We're not living freely out of connection with the Father. We're living out of the mask, and that's bondage, because we have to keep up the performance. And I think people in ministry particularly are prone to this, because the ministry mask is a really easy one for us to wear, and getting involved in ministry and then making it about the performance and needing the affirmation kind of gets us in this cycle of striving, striving, striving. The problem with that is that the striving wears us out. It exhausts us, and we look for relief. We look for pleasure in the midst of our pain. And that usually leads us to some form of an addiction, anything that we can connect to or attach to that will make us feel better. Anything from food to working harder to affirmation to sex, alcohol, drugs. It doesn't really matter what it is. It's an attachment just for the purpose of making us feel better because of our bondage to our mask. So now we're in this cycle of striving, striving, striving to try to make our lives work and living out of this mask, and then indulging in our addictive pattern, which only brings in more shame, which then causes us to strive even harder, and the cycle continues. So people who are caught in this cycle of striving and indulging, they can't really experience life. They're just trying to keep up. They're just trying to keep things on an even keel and keep things going, and they're not really connecting with the Father, because in the deepest part of who they are, they're so ashamed of themselves that they don't think the Father would really want to connect with them.
Yeah.
So they're not free to live out of who they are, to live out of their heart. They're living out of this mask, striving, indulging, and it's a vicious cycle that we get caught in and end up missing the point, which is life. So the 10 life choices are choices that we can make to get us back to that connection with the Father.
So what are those choices as we wrap up today that we're going to be looking at in the next several programs that we have together?
All right, there are 10 of these choices. We're going to choose honesty, which is about confessing what's really going on in our lives. We're going to choose grace, which stops the striving and receives what God has given us. We're going to choose forgiveness to let go of the guilt and shame of our past. We're going to choose truth to stop the lies and believe who we really are. We're going to choose surrender, give up all of the ways that we're trying to make our lives work. We're going to choose empowerment, aligning our will with the will of the Father and letting him be the driving power in our lives. We're going to choose community, connecting with others in meaningful ways. We're going to choose worship, which is responding to the Father. We're going to choose intimacy, inviting the Father to go deeper into our lives. And then we're going to choose availability, which is sharing life with others.
Well, one question or one thing that I was going to ask was, as we go through these 10 life choices, number one, is this going to be easy? And number two, are all their problems going to go away? Because we tend to think that, wow, if I just do this stuff, then I'll be okay.
Well, exactly. And again, we go back to the garden. The first day that Adam was created, all he had to do was choose to eat of the tree of life and not of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And I'm sure that after he made that choice for the first time, he felt really good and he thought everything was going well. The problem was he had to keep it up. He had to keep making that choice. And it's the same with us. None of these are choices that we're going to make once and then we're done. Every single day, we have to choose life. In every situation that we find ourselves, one of these life choices is going to apply and we have to choose it. This is the power of free will that God gave us.
So every day then, we have to get up and acknowledge, God, I can't make it today without you.
Exactly. And specifically in whatever area that we find ourselves in bondage, we have to choose life in that particular area for that moment.
This feature is a presentation of Member Care Media. Thank you for taking the time to listen. We invite you to check out our website further. We offer audio features and resources to help you in your work and daily life. In addition, we have links to other helpful websites that will be an encouragement to you and your family. This is a copyright production of Member Care Media and may not be reproduced without prior written consent.